Emerald Truth, Three Ways. A Nine Worlds Story. Written by Toffee Cape and read by Calicuria. This story's been rated mature, contained the ship pairings Artoran Damara, also known as Fitzroy Ingersoll, and Clear for Kit Madang, Adelia Aloapeha, and Clear for Kit Madang, and the platonic pairing Clear for Kit Madang and Kanju An Vilius. Summary. Three ways truth serum could have been deployed during the Emerald Conspiracy case. Chapter 1. Guards give truth serum to Adelia. I was grateful to you sometimes, my shield of serenity behind which my feelings could rage and carry on. You granted me inner privacy, even when outer privacy was a rare and precious luxury. Case in point, the interrogation of this spy, this lady-in-waiting to the Princess of Gilcano, this Emerald Conspirator, this actual, literal traitor, this Adelia Lady Aloapeha, who had chosen Cleofer as her mark from whom to extract information. Your head of intelligence was not pleased at your insistence that you be involved, but there are occasional advantages to being an absolute monarch, and one is that there is very little you cannot have if you insist upon it point blank. And upon this, when it concerned your, my beloved, hands, you are absolutely going to insist. Even dosed with truth serum until she swayed on her feet, watching you with her flat, glittering eyes as you paced, she was as threatening as a coiled snake, and I was glad to have the protection of your facade before her malice.
What were your reasons for seeking to replace us with a puppet?
You were certain that if Cleofer were in charge of the investigation, he would listen earnestly to the conspirators and come away with an itemized list of any valid grievances they might have and act on that list, hamstringing popular support for any future coup attempt. Thus was his subtle genius transforming Zunid. She shrugged. It would have been good for Gilcano to have a Gilcanese emperor. The right people in Gilcano, anyway, which includes me, so it would have been good for me. I amended your previous thought. I was glad Cleofer was not here to hear his lover's stunningly banal self-interest, utterly devoid of even a pretense of idealism.
Did Cleofer Siamadong know you were a spy?
No.
How much information did he give you to help the cause of the Emerald Conspiracy?
Fucking nothing at all. Even through the forced calm of the serum, her frustration was obvious. Nothing that wasn't already in a proclamation. We'd talk for hours, and he'd drop a little, "My lord this," or "My lord that," but as soon as I tried to dig in, he'd swerve again. He wouldn't even take me back to poke around whatever shitty commoner's hovel he must occupy in the servants' quarters. I knew within a week that I wouldn't get anything from him. My fury on Cleofer's behalf was paired, confusingly, with your vindicated pride. Of course your brilliant secretary would be a discreet and competent professional about his work, even in his private life. I pictured once again those fist-sized golden pearls shoring up the fire in the heart of me. They were there every time I went into trance, a true bulwark protecting me where for so long there had been only the hasty lean-to of you.
Then why continue the affair?
To maintain my cover. She twitched as the serum compelled her to add. And for the Caniculus. He gives the best head I've ever had in my life.
Stop,
you commanded, in a strangled tone.
That's quite enough of that.
No, she said wistfully. No one could ever get enough of that. I seriously considered defecting for the hope of more. Not that he would have wanted to continue once he knew, but I still might have ended up in a better situation than this.
You might have. Too late now.
He looked at the supervising officer.
Are you satisfied that Siamadong is blameless and may continue his work as our secretary unimpeded?
Yes, glorious one.
Then you have our blessing to take Lady Aloapeha elsewhere and continue interrogating her for whatever other details of the Emerald Conspiracy you require before executing her. On your way out, send a page for Sam Madong to come and get started on today's work, but obviously don't let him cross paths with her.
Once again alone except for your guards, you paced, and I tried to rein in my anxiety about how to break it to Clafer, as gently as possible, and emphasizing that he was in no way at fault. His brief, intense, only public that I knew about, relationship had been a lie. If I was also attempting to box up and shelve the knowledge that he was good with his mouth in more ways than one, well, you saw to it that that was no one's business but ours. Chapter 2. Guards Give the Truth Serum to Kip. His Radiancy was pacing, not the energetic idea pacing he normally did here in his study while dictating to Cleofer. This was more like prowling, like a great cat searching for an escape. Or a target.
How long has it been?
Not quite 3 bells, my lord.
That's too long,
His Radiancy muttered under his breath, so quietly Kanji wasn't sure he was meant to hear.
That's a full bell longer than they estimated they would need. Something's gone wrong.
Even more softly, with bitter venom.
And what can you do about it? Here, in the seat of your power, like a butterfly on a pin.
Kanji swallowed his worry. Of all the secrets he guarded out of love and care for his lord's dignity, the fact that the Emperor occasionally spoke to himself in 2 different voices should probably have been the most alarming. But it was so very occasional, only in times of great distress, and never when he thought anyone could hear him. Many people thought out loud, and to be of 2 minds about something was a whole idiom. And neither set of thoughts ever seemed to want anything bad, just for something terrible to stop happening, usually, or for his loved ones to be well. Or both. Like now, Kanji was all but climbing the walls himself with helplessness and outrage. He resolutely did not fidget. Make some more tea.
Tea is soothing. I wish to be tense.
Coffee, then. The trouble with coffee was the kitchens for the Imperial apartments kept a vat going from dawn to dusk every day. Filling a pot was as simple as turning a tap. There was not enough ritual to it to calm Kanji down. But at least fetching it was something to do. When he returned, there was finally, a thumping of spears on the other side of the door. But then Algenu announced,
Sergeant Varsha Sayagaji and Corporal Sayo Domotonoboro.
And no other names. Kanji set the tray of coffee down on a table and turned to face the wall to bite his knuckles. The temperature in the room dropped even faster than it had 3 bells ago, when a messenger first came explaining why Cleofer would arrive late. Or might never arrive again, if...
But that was unthinkable.
A wind began to howl outside, and the light in the windows faded as the sun clouded over again.
Sergeant,
said His Radiancy, with superficial, threatening evenness.
What news?
Glorious and illustrious one. Sergeant Gaji said to the floor. Clafer Sayamadong has fully exonerated himself with testimony under a truth serum. He had no knowledge of Adelia Eilopeha's espionage activities, and she had no opportunity to learn anything of substance from him for the benefit of the Emerald Conspiracy. Kanji turned around. His Radiancy was still serene, but the room became a touch less icy, and the howling outdoors subsided.
As expected. And yet, we observe that Sayamadong is not with you.
Corporal Domido blurted, He refused to come back with us. A brief pause.
Is it a question of his feeling guilty, or perhaps embarrassed?
No, my lord, said Sergeant Gaji. He won't let us administer the antidote. He says the serum is having, quote, a remarkable effect on his mental faculties, and he wants to continue strategizing. He won't stop writing, Corporal Domito added. It was nearly a wail. When we left, he was attaching sheets of paper to the walls. He said something about finally getting the postal system right this time? The brewing storm dissipated entirely. His radiancy covered his hand, as if to cup his chin in thought. But from Conju's angle, he could see his lord grinning with amusement.
Well, he said, we suppose we shall have to go collect our wayward secretary. Conju, you and Cleopha are friends, are you not?
Yes, my lord. Conju was too shaky with relief to really feel amused yet. Torture was abolished. Cleopha had been the one to abolish it, but the old terror died hard.
You may be able to help persuade him, then. Come with us.
Like Conju, Elish and Elgenu knew better than to say anything as they all left for the apartments on foot. His radiancy always enjoyed an excuse not to use his litter. The walk down to the intelligence offices in the military administrative area of the Palace of Stars was no exception. There were more working people than nobles along the way, and while they still startled and made hasty obeisances, their practical clothing made this less of a disruption than was usual on these occasions. The startlement increased as they neared their destination, because people were distracted by the tirade coming from one of the interview rooms.
Simadong, please get down from there!
I wouldn't need to be up here if you would just bring me a ladder.
A ladder is coming, but please!
A guard outside the door saw Sergeant Gaji and sagged with relief.
Oh, thank the gods you're back, ma'am. The Emperor!
She prostrated herself.
Rise,
said His Radiancy.
What were you about to tell Sergeant Gaji?
The guard gulped and stammered.
Only that Simadong shows no sign of recovery from the truth serum on his own, and in fact, well, it would take more time to explain than to let you see for yourself.
And she opened the door to the room. The walls were covered in paper, every sheet packed with secretarial shorthand, as was the long table where investigator and interviewee were meant to face each other in a pair of chairs. Those chairs were now stacked one on top of the other on top of the table, and teetering on top of them was Cleopha, scribbling on yet another sheet of paper pinned to the wall near the ceiling and muttering to himself in a language that Conju didn't speak. His Radiancy's breath caught when he saw Cleopha's precarious position, and at the sound Cleopha turned his head, cried, "My lord!" and promptly toppled from his stack of chairs.
"No!"
His Radiancy shouted, and his power moved and caught Cleopha in midair as the chairs clattered to the floor beneath him.
"Thank you, my lord,"
Cleopha gasped, making his obeisance as soon as he was gently lowered to the ground. He added, "I can feel your magic, a little, sometimes, and it's always scary and wonderful, like catching a wind in my sails that's probably too strong, but does it ever go fast?" And while everyone is gaping at that unsolicited comment, he turned his back on His Radiancy and started stacking the chairs on the table again like he had every intention of climbing back up there.
"We know we said he was not to be restrained or coerced,"
His Radiancy murmured,
"but we would have hoped you would understand that precautions for his safety were an exception."
"The serum makes it unsafe to restrain someone in the grip of a strong inner compulsion,"
Sergeant Gaji said miserably. "And I failed to anticipate the trick with the chairs."
"Give Conju the antidote. Perhaps he can convince Cleopha to take it."
Conju took the small vial the guard inside the room placed in his hand and stepped forward. He was forcibly reminded of times when his parents had to make one of his sisters take medicine while they were locked in the hysterical resistance of the very young. "Cleopha," he tried, "the serum is causing you to endanger yourself." "A small price to pay," Cleopha shot back, retrieving his pen from where he'd dropped it when he fell. Conju repressed a pang. "It isn't, actually."
"It is! This will help so many people, and I almost have it. I would have it by now if I didn't keep getting interrupted."
There was a feverish gleam in his eye as he spun, surveying the mad array of writing, covering the whole table and tacked to the walls, clearly as high as he could reach around the whole circumference of the room before he'd climbed up on the table. "Why didn't you cover the floor first?" Conju found himself asking.
Clever's eyes widened. Why indeed? And he dropped to his hands and knees and started writing on a fresh sheet there. Kanju couldn't read what was on the highest sheet, and his ability to read secretarial shorthand was limited at best, but he was willing to bet that Cleaver had picked up mid-sentence, and that it was the same sentence he'd been writing when he fell. It was mesmerizing to watch words flow out of someone faster than a person could speak. What would you do if no one brought you more paper and ink? He wondered. I have blood, Cleaver said nonchalantly without looking up. His radiancy's breath caught again. Ugh. Kondra dropped into a crouch. Cleaver, you must see that this isn't rational. You must take the antidote now. Cleaver's truculent glower down at the page would have not looked out of place on a 3-year-old. You're not the boss of me. His radiancy moved to Kanju's side.
I, however, am. Cleaver, look at me.
If anyone in the room was shocked by the shift from plural to singular, they had the fortitude to keep it to themselves. Cleaver's whole demeanor shifted as he looked up obediently. Ke ea anonana, my lord, he insisted. The star paths are singing to me.
I'm sure they are, his radiancy said gently. But don't they always? You don't need them even louder.
Cleaver blinked. They are very loud, he admitted, and for the first time his expression sagged with exhaustion.
No drug can do in a morning what centuries of honest work are still only making stepwise progress on. Take the antidote, Cleaver.
Kanju hastily offered the vial again, and this time Cleaver opened it and drank. He smacked his lips and grimaced when he was done. That tastes even worse than the serum. How long does it take to... Oh. Oh, no. He looked around the room with dawning horror, and then buried his face in his hands. Oh, no. He folded himself into the posture of a first-degree apology.
Rise, Saimadang. You have done nothing wrong.
Cleaver jerked his head up. Nothing wrong? His radiancy counted on his fingers.
You received the attention of an attractive woman with admirable poise, maintained strong boundaries throughout, and then cooperated with an investigation. Anything you did or said while disinhibited in the course of that investigation is the responsibility of those who disinhibited you.
He turned to Sergeant Gaji, who quailed and flung herself down.
We remain committed to interrogation protocols based on truth serums, not torture, but we suggest that this particular formula needs further refinement.
Yes, my lord.
Perhaps consult the apothecaries to develop a version that delivers the antidote at the same time, to take effect after a set interval. We hope the advantages of such a format are obvious after today's demonstration.
Yes, my lord, she said with extra fervor.
How are you feeling, Saimadang?
Back to my usual self, my lord. More or less. By the intense blush in Cleofer's brown skin red, the more or less was that he still felt mortified by his behavior. Kanji preferred to restore dignity in situations like these by sailing above the embarrassment until it expired from lack of attention. If it worked for depilating the Emperor's scrotum every 3 months... And it did. He and his radiancy were now old hands at trading gossip with one of his radiancy's ankles up by his ear. It could work for Cleaver, having had a manic episode while in the grip of a still-experimental drug. We ought to gather up these notes for later review, he said briskly. Corporal Domido and some other tall young soldier they called in made quick and careful work of taking Cleaver's notes off the wall and assembling them into a neat, if wrinkled, stack. Kanju suspected the intelligence staff were desperately relieved not to be responsible for letting the hands of the Emperor come to harm. Kanju's simply ignore the embarrassment and move on tactic was successful. By the time the notes were gathered, Cleaver was recovered enough to accept the stack with gracious thanks and a thoughtful expression. If these do turn out to make sense upon review, he mused, I might like to do that on purpose sometime. His radiancy made a faint choking sound.
You would put yourself through that again simply to improve the post.
If I recall correctly, by the time you'd arrived, I'd moved on to the Najani police force. His radiancy pinched the bridge of his nose.
Cliffer, if there really is some new approach to the Najani police problem in there, and if the formula is improved, and if you allow me to supervise, I might just let you.
Chapter 3. Conspirators give truth serum to Kip. Notes. For the purposes of suspension disbelief, the author asks the listener to remember that we know from Iro a very long time has passed on Jilkino. Cleofer blinked as the sack was removed from his head. The first thing his dazzled eyes saw, from his vantage point where he was tied to a chair, was some familiar cleavage. Sure enough, when he looked up,
Adelia? What's going on?
That's Lady Elopeja to you, labor monkey, she spat. A quick glance around the room, windowless, unfamiliar, possibly not even part of the palace, although he didn't think he'd passed outdoors after being seized on his way home for the night, revealed four more people. Two Jilkanese nobles he recognized from court and two dressed as servants. He thought he recognized them from the Princess of Jilkino's entourage, but who now carried themselves like nobles, all looking at him in a familiar way, like he was an unpleasant and bothersome insect. He felt the clues connect like toppling dominoes, clack, 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 and a fire of anger leapt high in his breast, overwhelming his fear. He let a nasty smile slide onto his face and said, "That's not what you called me with my fingers up your—" He was cut off by her slap. A man in the party cackled.
He's got you there, Del. How many times did you go back after you knew he wouldn't give you anything but a good fucking?
A woman said, Shut the fuck up, Kazuo. That's not helpful. And Adelia, don't hit him in the face just because you can't sit on it anymore. We need his mouth for talking. Adelia, Lady Elopeja, that stung less, actually, pouted in a childish way that was singularly off-putting. Cleofer felt embarrassed to have ever been flattered by her attention. The woman who chastised them, in the absence of other information Cleofer would assume she was in charge, pulled up a chair and sat down to face Cleofer. Sayamadang, does it bother you, Cleofer interrupted, to have to resort to kidnapping and asking questions of a labor monkey because I know things you don't? He wasn't entirely sure what these people wanted, but it was probably nothing he wanted, so he was resolved to be as uncooperative and obnoxious as possible. Also, whispered a small, scared voice inside of him, they'd all shown him their faces, meaning they probably had no intention of letting him leave here alive, so he might as well make whatever they wanted take as long as possible to increase his chances of rescue. Her lips thinned. Yes, it does. It's an affront to the natural order, one we will set right. Let me guess, he sneered. The natural order is Jilkani's nobility on top, then foreign nobility, then Jilkani's commoners, then everybody else. Does that sound about right? Minus 64 strata of inner castes in true Jilkani's tradition, she said evenly, then bared her teeth in nothing like a smile. But it's close enough for government work and a government that won't live to see another sunset. The majority of Jilkani's people Cleofer had ever spoken to despised the caste system and were delighted to see the exploitation that sustained it collapsing under his Radiancy's reforms. Cleofer visualized himself feeding logs of fear into the fire of his rage, keeping the flames high and hot and spitting sparks to spiral into the night sky. The current head of government is unlikely to be amenable to that plan. I assume you intend to depose him. Yes, peacefully or otherwise.
It has to be otherwise, Hoshi, said a man who hadn't spoken yet. He'll be a threat to Hisai's reign as long as he's alive.
That name rang a bell. The young Lord Hirata Hisai, the Princess of Jilkino's nephew. You intend to install a little boy as
what?
Emperor of Zunid, with no one having sworn to him. No, not quite, he realized, answering his own question.
It's to be a regency, isn't it? If you haven't even decided amongst yourselves whether or not to... He faltered, nearly gagging at the obscenity of the thought, but found he could force the words out if he phrased it as, "Commit regicide. Is it settled who is to be the next regent?"
"Don't answer that, Oshi," said the man. "Who's being interrogated here, anyway?"
Cleaver smirked. "Sounds like you think the regent should be you." Oshi was staring at the man, her expression stricken. "Terusane, is that true?"
"It's irrelevant," Terusane snarled. "He's just trying to sow dissent. Kipriana, where the fuck is Amarion?"
The third woman in the room said, "I told you, he said not to grab Madang tonight because he wouldn't be able to get away from his liaison with the Orinatha. But did you listen?" "No."
Kazuo said, "Just give him the fucking serum anyway. What's the trigger spell? Just reading some shit off a piece of paper? Any of us can read, even while wearing the costume of Beast of Burden."
He plucked irritably at his servant's uniform. Kipriana, who was also dressed as a servant, said faux sweetly, "Has it also given you the intelligence of a beast of burden? One has to read the shit while working magic. That's what makes it a spell."
"Give it to me," said Oshi. "I can do it. Hold him. He looks like a biter." It might have been a mistake to start off so aggressive. If he'd acted more scared and compliant before, he might have had a chance to catch them off guard now and break the vial. He still thrashed, made the chair fall most of the way to the floor with two people under him, threw his head around, connecting hard with at least one face, got in a few decent bites, and generally made a nuisance of himself. But finally Kazuo and Terusane had him restrained and his nose pinched shut, and the trick of calling on his old pearl-diving breath hold to go limp after a long time and make everyone panic thinking they'd killed him only worked once. The second time Oshi managed to wait him out and force a few acrid drops of something onto his tongue. It absorbed instantly, leaving nothing for him to spit out, only a few alcoholic fumes in his sinuses. The conspirators righted his chair and retreated out of thrashing range, bearing no small number of bites and bruises and a universal look of wary hatred.
"Say something," said Kazuo.
"You're all morons. Your conspiracy is already rolling down the staircase of failure and hitting every step on the way down."
Lady Aloa Peha tittered.
"Stupid Kazuo. Oshi hasn't read the spell to activate it yet."
Something burned in Cleofer's mouth as Oshi read a passage of words he couldn't hear properly. He'd only ever heard his lord utter a single word at a time, and even that made him flinch. This string of gibberish felt like both oil and sparks of static in his ears. He shook his head violently, trying to clear the irritated, dizzy feeling.
"Now then," said Oshi, resuming her seat in front of him, "let's try this again." Cleofer looked her in the eye and said, "You're all inbred aristomorons. Your conspiracy is already rolling down the staircase of failure and hitting every step on the way down. I want the hours of my life I spent with my head up Lady Aelopeha's skirts back." Terusane had to restrain a spluttering, furious Lady Aelopeha on his own, because Kazuo slid to the floor crying with laughter. "Seriously," Cleofer went on, "I bet your pet mage Amarion didn't show up because he's already turned traitor and guards are looking for you right now."
Kazuo stopped laughing. "Shit," he said. "Shit, do you think so?"
Cleofer nodded.
"Shit."
"No," Kipriana said, forcefully, like she was trying to convince herself. "No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't do that to me." Cleofer shrugged. "You'd do it to him. Kidnapping a core member of his Radiancy's household after he told you he couldn't get away to administer that potion. Are you even sure you did it right?" It had done something. He'd had to phrase that last bit as a question because he'd been able to feel that he wouldn't be able to say it as a belief. Oshi glanced at the vial and spell sheet on the table behind her. "Not that you really needed it," Cleofer went on. "I'm quite happy to tell you all the ways your plan is doomed without any artificial assistance."
"Do not mistake the unprecedented for the impossible," Terusane intoned, with the cadence of a quotation.
Cleofer cocked his head.
I actually really like that, but short-sighted fools with more money than sense slaughtering each other like animals is both possible and entirely precedented. Did none of you study history at university? How many of you even went to a real university, with blind exams and a possibility of failure? Several of them couldn't meet his eyes. Lady Aloapeha did, her chin proudly raised, and he remembered how erudite she'd managed to appear, how quick to keep up with him in conversation. He'd looked and seen she was lovely and elegant and flatteringly interested in him. He'd listened and thought she sounded intelligent and charming. Had he not been looking and listening closely enough? Or perhaps he should have asked more questions. Oshi had lifted her head and was looking at him again, her face alight with triumph, and he realized he'd spoken those thoughts aloud. It does work, you see? We don't need a Marion. Saimadong, tell us the hours for the changing of the inner guard. He rattled off the schedule, cringing internally at how impossible it was to stop himself, then pushed past the anxiety with more scorn. Really? Your plan is to attack the guards at shift change? You do understand His Radiancy is the 100th Emperor of Astandalas, that a sizable number of his predecessors were assassinated, and that his security is designed from the ground up to guard against just such an attack. Not by Jilkanese warriors of true heart and noble blood, it isn't, Kipriana retorted. Clefer laughed. That's even more foolish than imagining the Council of Princes would bend the knee to that poor child if you somehow did plunk his tiny behind onto the throne, but still not as foolish as thinking my lord is less dangerous than his guards. Silence fell in the room. What do you mean? Asked Oshi. Cleofer stared. He's the Lord Magus of Zunid, he said slowly.
That's a ceremonial title, said Terusane, like Lord of Rising Stars.
It's really, really not. Less than a year after I was hired, he stopped another volcanic eruption like the one that turned most of Northern Dare into lava flows, just by telling the Earth to calm down and not explode. He then launched into a chronological recounting of the wonders his lord had performed, was still performing, some of them, to knit together the wounded magic of Zunid. His audience looked steadily paler and more upset as he went on. He broke off to observe, "You really thought that all of that was propaganda? That supplanting him would be as simple as getting past his guards and sticking him with the pointy end of something? Wow. If I weren't so appalled, this would be hilarious." "We should go," Kipriana said abruptly. "We should get Amarion and the others and just go. Now. Tonight."
"It's a bluff," Terusane argued. "Like what the Orinatha do. All smoke and mirrors. This peasant has no magic of his own. He'd be easy to fool."
"There's abundant magic around him," said Oshi.
He shook his head like a wet dog while you were reading the spell for the serum. He can't hear words of power.
"No, look, he..." Oshi made a gesture. Clearfer felt nothing, but she was abruptly thrown backwards, chair and all, into Lady Ealoapeha, sending them both sprawling.
"Did you do that?" asked Kazuo.
"No," said Clefer. "Terusane is right. I've no magic at all. And you know I can't lie right now." He raised his eyebrows. "But my employer does." Oshi got painfully to her feet. "Those are not the kind of protections one puts on their employee." Clefer shrugged. "Maybe they are, if one is a planetary great mage, and it would be inconvenient if one's secretary were interfered with."
"Shit," Kazuo muttered. "I'm with Kipriana. Let's just go."
"Go where?" snapped Terusane. "If we flee now, we expose ourselves, and I've put too much into this to back out now."
Oshi stared at him. "You mean we've put too much in," she clarified. "For Hisaya."
"Right. That's what I said."
"No, you didn't. You said I. And earlier, the secretary thought you wanted to be regent."
"That's just him being shit-disturbing rabble."
"Or maybe..." Her voice cracked. "It's something even rabble can see, when not blinded by love." The two of them descended into arguing,
Kiprion and Kazuo fidgeted like they were ready to bolt. Lady Aalopeha glared at Cleofer. I tried to tell them kidnapping you wouldn't help. Seems like they're not very good listeners. Not all of us had a Burutovo yelling sense into our heads at the age of 12. I thought I had you eating out of the palm of my hand. Were you ever in love with me at all? No. She laughed bitterly. No? That's it! You can't shut up even before we dose you, and now that's all you have to say. Yes. There was a truth looming in his mind, encroaching on his tongue, but he refused to look at it, refused to name it, refused to give it a chance to let it fall out of his drugged mouth. He trained all his attention onto Lady Aelopeha instead. Well, no. I did like you, before you showed your true colors. Sex is fun with people I like, but I don't really do romance, the kind most people talk about. She stalked in a small circle around him. You waxed very eloquent about your lord's power. Kipriana and Kazuo are shitting themselves, and Oshi and Terusana are minutes from breaking up. Do you think he really is a god, like the priest wizards say? He couldn't not answer. The serum wouldn't let him. No. Saying as little as possible felt damningly vulnerable after his previous protective flood of words, but there was nothing here that was safe to say. Just a man, then, she breathed. The other four had fallen silent, watching her and Cleofer. And every man has a weakness. What's his? Cleofer searched for something to obfuscate with, but that unnamed truth was bearing down on him now, and he squirmed beneath its pressure. He seems lonely, sometimes. I reach out as best I can, but it's hard to tell if he's reaching back. I'm still here, so I think he must be. Her eyes widened. Are you in love with him? The pressure burst. Yes. He wanted to clarify, wanted to draw a line between his love and that of lovers, but when he pictured the things lovers did in order to confirm he didn't want them, he couldn't confirm that. He felt some curiosity about the things men did together, because he'd only ever been with women, but no aversion, not even indifference. In fact, the serum showed him with ruthless clarity, the idea of touching his lord that much, giving him comfort and pleasure when he seemed so still and, yes, lonely, was shockingly appealing, even though it didn't quite map onto the ideal he'd carried secretly in his heart for so long. Did it have to map perfectly? Did any ambitious plan meet reality unchanged? He felt dazzled, like when he met His Radiancy's eyes while the magic was running high, like this knowledge was too much for him, because it was so impossible. In the extremely unlikely event that his lord desired him, between the taboos and the distance in their stations, there was still nothing they could do about it. Lady Aelopeha's face was alight with cruel glee. Cleofer's mind was racing too fast to have said much of what he'd thought, but even that yes had been too much. And is he in love with you? I have no idea, but probably not, he gritted out between clenched teeth. I think you're wrong, she sighed, like she was having a beatific vision. I think he is, and so I know how we will snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. There came a pounding on the door.
This is the palace guard. Open up.
Kipriana gave a little scream and started to cry. Cleofer grinned. I doubt that very much, but regardless, you're out of time.
That's the dumbest thing you've said all night,
said Terusane, advancing on him and drawing a knife. He had the knife at Cleofer's throat when the guard stopped shouting to be let in, but his firm grip on Cleofer's hair faltered when, instead of bursting inward, the door was simply ripped off its hinges and thrown down the hall, and the first new person to stride into the room was His Radiancy.
Give a safe passage, or your whore bleeds out at your feet.
Terusane blustered. His hand shook, nicking Cleofer's skin with a shallow cut.
You weren't listening at all. We're not... Cleaver started to argue, but he was cut off by Terasane's knife hand being invisibly wrenched away from his neck with a nauseating crunch. Terasane fell to his knees. His co-conspirators were already prostrated, cradling his ruined hand against his chest and retching in agony.
As an extension of ourself, abducting, assaulting, and threatening our hands are crimes enough on their own for your lives to be forfeit.
Cleofer's lord almost never enunciated the royal plural to this extent, and when he did it was usually in a speech from his throne. To hear it in this low, quietly furious tone was strange and chilling.
But we have reasons to believe there will be additional charges before you meet your ends. Take them away for questioning.
He ordered, stepping back out into the hall. The room was briefly very crowded as guards collected the five conspirators, and then there was only Cleofer tied to the chair until his lord stepped back in, flanked by his two personal guards. Picabe and Otto, tonight. It was only now that Cleofer noticed how strangely his radiancy was dressed, in a long, loose shift so plain it had to be a nightshirt, and elbow-length gloves that looked like the ones Kanju had shown him once, that he wore safety equipment whenever he tended to their lord, and carried in a pocket at all times in case of emergency touch-ups. Judging by the poor fit at the fingers, they might actually be Kanju's. But why was his radiancy wearing them?
Because I asked to borrow them,
his lord answered, walking behind the chair. Cleofer must have said that out loud.
Be still a moment. My head is not covered, and rather close.
And then Cleofer was being untied, but there was no one behind him but his radiancy, and the hands closing so gently around his wrist and chafing his fingers were gloved. My lord? He blurted.
It just seemed imperative that I do this myself. I knew the instant one of those wretches dared touch my protections on you with their magic.
Oshi, Cleofer said, the nominal leader in the room, I think. Though she had conflict of some kind with Terusane, he was the one holding the knife when you came in. Anyway, she had a little magic, enough to activate the truth serum that still has me babbling like an idiot. I'm sorry, my lord.
Hush.
His radiancy eased Cleofer's hands forward into his lap. He probably could have managed on his own, but his stiff arms did appreciate the help. And then shuffled to the front of the chair. He was kneeling. Cleofer wondered hysterically if the serum was now causing him to hallucinate. His lord touched his hands again, squeezing them gently, then reached up and thumbed away the already dried blood drops in his neck, whiting out Cleofer's thoughts with astonishment.
I am sorry, Cleofer. This happened to you because of your association with me.
Cleofer rallied to declare, Incorrect. It happened because of their unbelievable classism and incompetence. I'm deeply embarrassed that Lady Aelopeha fooled me for as long as she did. He jerked as he remembered. Oh, there are others. A mage named Amarion, and others they didn't name, and... My lord, the Princess of Gilkano's little nephew may be in danger. They wanted him for a puppet.
Peace, Cleofer.
His lord squeezed his hands again.
It's all right. Intelligence officers have been on the group's scent for some time. Tonight's movements came as a surprise, but the conspiracy's existence and general aims do not. The child in particular is safe. The only innocent harmed so far is...
He grimaced.
You.
I gave worse than I got, Cleofer said stoutly. His lord chuckled.
I have no doubt that you did, and that it will become an object lesson among those guards who instruct new trainees. How much damage an angry secretary can do while tied to a chair.
I was very angry, Cleofer admitted. They were so stupid. They didn't even believe you were really a mage. His radiancy bit his lip as his eyes widened in delight.
My dear Cleofer, I'm almost sorry to have missed being present to hear you set them right.
Cleofer bit down hard on his tongue to avoid saying he was glad his radiancy wasn't there, actually. All of his insults regarding the aristocracy, inbreeding, and not having attended a real university were just as applicable to his radiancy, and the idea of hurting his beloved lord was horrific. Oh, God, He was his beloved lord. He was in love with his lord. He was even now replaying that "my dear Cleofer" over and over in his mind with giddy joy. Watching him so closely, of course his lord noticed Cleofer biting his tongue. He looked chagrined.
"Let me see what I can do about that truth serum. You say it was triggered with a spell."
Cleofer nodded, grateful for the change of subject. "The vial and incantation are still on that table." His lord's eyes, always lambent gold, glowed slightly brighter for a moment.
"I will examine them if I need to, but no, this work is as shoddy as the rest of the conspiracy."
Cleofer felt nothing, but after another moment his lord said,
"Now then, try telling an untruth. Are you tired?"
"No." His lord raised an eyebrow. "Wait, but I'm not."
"Hopefully tonight's excitement will last long enough for one last walk, but there is doubtless a crash pending. One more reason to come back to my apartments, where we are going to insist you stay for now, at least until we are satisfied all the conspirators have been rooted out."
His stern tone and abrupt switch to the plural made it clear he would brook no opposition on this point. Cleofer was aware that exhaustion was hot on his heels, certainly too close for him to muster any coherent counter-arguments when all he wanted was to be near his lord to assure himself of his safety anyway. He sighed. "I warn you, I'm not fit for human company before coffee, but I suppose your staff do always keep a pot going." His lord relaxed as if he had been braced for a disagreement.
"Indeed they do, although I'm sure you'll prove as congenial a roommate as you are a delight to work with. Come, let us be off."
Cleofer got carefully to his feet and limped out of the room under the watchful eye of his lord, and proved he wouldn't stagger and require his lord to make use of his gloves again to catch him. He was still in shock that his radiancy had touched him at all, even with the barrier. He was dimly aware of Picabe and Otto trading disbelieving glances as he passed, but he couldn't blame them in the least. That Picabe whispered something to himself that might have been, "Oh my gods, they were roommates," made less sense, but he could have easily misheard. The end. Thanks for listening.